Welcome to Westgate Chat. It's good to see you on a blustery day. Good day to be inside worship at home. So if you guys want to stand up, we'll sing together.
Good morning, everyone. How are you today? Good. It is good to be here together. If we haven't had the opportunity to meet, my name is Rob Zimmerman. I'm the lead pastor here at Westgate, and we are so thankful you've chosen to worship with us today. We have had just a ton of things going on throughout the Christmas season, and in the process, I know we have had a number of guests that have been worshiping with us each week. If you are a guest this morning or have been over the last couple weeks, I wanted to let you know that one of the best ways to begin the process of getting connected here at Westgate is by filling out a connection card. You'll see that card actually in the pew seat in front of you, and if you want to take that step of looking for a way to get connected, I would invite you to fill that out this morning, and at the close of our service, you can actually take that card out to our guest center outside these doors in the main entrance, and our hosts that are there would love to answer any questions you have about the church, but also as you give them that connection card, they'll have a small gift to give you you just to say thank you for being here and worshiping with us. And so, but with that, all of the things that have been going on this Christmas, we have a number of things that are still continuing and upcoming. First and foremost, really important, our Christmas Eve services are fast approaching. They're going to be happening one on December 23rd. That service is going to be at 7 p.m., so Monday, December 23rd. And then our second one is going to be Tuesday, December 24th at 4 p.m. It's going to be a great time of worship together as a church family, candlelight worship, and the whole nine yards. We would love for you to not only come, but also just invite your friends and your family to come and join us as we worship Christ our Savior. Also, as we move into the winter months, once Christmas has passed, we have a lot of things that are going to be going on beginning in January. The first thing is that if you look here at your sermon notes, hopefully you grabbed those on the way in this morning, the insert on the inside will tell you about all of the classes and Bible studies that are going to be starting up the week of January 12th. I'd encourage you to take a look at that. One of our passions here as a church, part of our five-year vision, is growing deep roots with Christ. In other words, we want to put ourselves in a position where we are growing deeper in our intimacy with God. And so I would encourage you to look at those classes. They're a great way to continue to grow, but to grow with other people. We've got classes for women, classes for men, some combined classes, so be sure to check that out. But another great way to get connected and continue growing in your relationship with Christ is also by being a part of a life group. Here at Westgate, we have about 77% of our adults are involved in life groups here at Westgate, small groups where they can come together, do life together, but continue to study God's word and grow. And we're going to be having a life group sign-up event for those that aren't already involved, and that's going to be taking place on Sunday, January 12th, following the second service. We'll have some tables with life group leaders set up over in our cafe. You can stop by, talk to them, learn about their groups, and see if there might be a great place for you to plug in. So we would encourage you to check that out. Also, want to make you aware that we're going to be launching into a new series in January, going through the book of Galatians together. And so some of you love to read ahead and be a part of that. And so we'd encourage you to keep that in mind as we jump into this new year together. Now, this morning, we have got an incredible blessing, which is the opportunity to dedicate a child to the Lord this morning. So I am going to invite the Burgoon family to come and join me here on the platform. Would you welcome them as they come this morning? Awesome. Here at Westgate, when we dedicate children to the Lord, it's an acknowledgement that what we're doing is following kind of the picture that is given for us of dedicating our children to the Lord as seen in Scripture. It doesn't ensure their salvation, but really it is a commitment on the part of parents, but I believe also the church body that says, hey, we are going to raise our children to know the Lord and give them every opportunity to make that decision. And this morning we get to dedicate little Jude Burgoon here, and I think you'll see his picture up on the screen. Yes, he is that adorable up close. It is so great. And he is in a fantastic mood, by the way, this morning. Very happy. So we are excited for you guys this morning to be able to dedicate Jude to the Lord. And Jake and Rebecca, I've got just a couple of things I want to share with you and our church family. You know, one of the passages I love to think about when it comes to child dedication is found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 7. The Israelites are in the process of moving towards the promised land. And in this, they are given instruction that is meant to not only help them in their own relationship with God, but future generations that would come after them. And here's what it says. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You are to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up." You know, one of the things that stands out to me the most is the very first commandment that was given in this passage was that we would love God with all of our heart and soul. And I think that's so important, especially the way that this passage is structured, because as parents, we are the primary discipler of our kids. And they will not just receive our teaching, but most importantly, they will learn from our example of how we love Christ. And that will be evident to them as they continue to grow in him. As well, we're commanded in this passage to teach them not just with words, but with our actions. But I think one of the most important things for us when we come to child dedication is this, is that we are to recognize that our children are a beautiful gift from God. And the most important thing is they are still his. He loves them more than we ever could. And so this morning, what you're doing is you're coming and you're asking God to give you everything that you will need to raise Jude, to know the Lord, and that he would strengthen and empower you. So dedicating Jude to the Lord is an acknowledgement that he is first and foremost God's, but also an acknowledgement that you've got a great responsibility and that you're calling on the Lord to provide everything you will need to raise Jude to know him. So I have this charge for you this morning. Believing that your son is a gift from God, and that God will hold you accountable for him, will you commit yourselves to the purpose of dedicating Jude to the Lord and to his service? Will you pray with him and teach him to pray? Will you instruct him in God's word and be a faithful example of Christ to him? Will you teach Jude to read God's word and lead a life that is completely dedicated to God through Jesus Christ? And will you do everything within your power to bring him to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior? If you will do these things, please say, "We will." Awesome. And church family, I'd invite you to stand with us. One of the things that we love to do during child dedication is recognize that not only is this a commitment on the part of the parents, but as a church family, our desire is that we would also be a part of helping Jude to come to that place of knowing the Lord. And so I have this charge for you as well. As family, as friends, and as a church family, we also have a great responsibility in assisting Jake and Rebecca in what they have committed to this morning. And we will likely have the opportunity to see Jude grow up and grow in Christ. Will you, as family, friends, and church family, commit to always representing Jesus Christ to their son? Will you commit to praying for them as God prompts you? And if you're given the opportunity, will you commit to supporting them by teaching Jude about Jesus in the hope that he will one day respond to and follow Christ with his whole life? If you'll commit to these things, will you please say, "We will." Yes. Awesome. Let's pray and dedicate him to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we give you so much thanks for the opportunity that we have this morning to come to this time of dedication. We acknowledge, God, that children that you give to us are a very precious, precious gift that comes with a very great responsibility. First and foremost this morning, Lord, I want to pray over Jake and Rebecca that you would give them everything that they need as they continue to grow in their relationship with you. I pray that daily you would take them to a deeper place of surrender, that their children would always see you as primary in their lives, that God, their example would be the strongest teaching that they give, that each of their children would come to know you as their Lord and Savior. And this morning, God, we pray that you would give them all that they need as they continue to raise their children, especially Jude, here this morning to know you. God, we pray that he would come to know you from a very young age. God, that you would bring about every spiritual gift that you have designed for him in his life, that he would serve you with his whole heart for his whole life. And we ask, God, that ultimately you would receive the glory from him. God, we dedicate him now to you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, giving ultimate glory to you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. He really loves playing with my thumb while we pray. How you doing, bud? I'm like, who's grabbing me? All right. Well, we are so delighted, and we have a gift here for you. This is a quilt from our quilting ministry here at the church and certificate. We are just blessed, and we'll continue to pray for you guys and for Jude and your whole family. Would you congratulate them this morning on the dedication of their son? Thank you. Well, church family, this is a great opportunity for us to turn and welcome one another to our service today. So find somebody you haven't said hello to yet today and welcome them to our service.
come into a time of offering. I wanted to share with you just a report back of the ways that you have been giving and generous during this month of Christmas with two specific things. One, we have a blessed child. Many of you have supported and given gifts to children in North Toledo. And I just wanted to share that we were able to supply and wrap gifts for over 50 kids in the North Toledo community. So thank you for all of that. And as well as two families connected with our kind of partner elementary school, Door Elementary. And volunteers came, helped pack things this week. There's, you see some pictures up there. But also at Door Elementary, because of your giving, we were able to give like 425 pairs of gloves and mittens to every kid. Actually, one per kid, not 425 to every child. But so, you know, warm hands. That's a meeting of felt need, and we continue to pray for open doors, open avenues of meeting the need of the peace of Christ in their lives and hearts. And so thank you all for giving and sharing of what God has entrusted all of us with. So I'm going to go ahead and pray for our time of offering, and we're grateful. God, we're grateful for the amazing way that you have entrusted us. During this time, we just give back to you. Help us to be faithful stewards. Lord, we pray a blessing upon each one of those gifts, each one of those gloves, that along with those goes your message of peace and your grace and your goodness and your provision. Continue to open doors for us to love and to share about your peace this holiday season and Christmas season. God, what we give this morning is just we're giving back to you what's already yours. So take and receive our offerings this morning with grateful hearts. And we do this in your name, Jesus. Amen. So if you're kind of in the middle here, take those buckets. We can pass them out to the outside. And if you're up in the balcony from the outside, we go in towards the center. Thank you. Well, I'm grateful to be able to share God's word with you this morning. We'll be in Luke chapter 2, looking at verses 1 through 20. So I encourage you to turn to that in your Bible or scroll there or press there, wherever you need to in your digital version. We'll have the verses up on the screen as well. If we haven't had the chance to meet yet, my name is Adam Just. I serve here as executive pastor of ministry, and I was doing some thinking back this week. Actually, three years ago, I had this like 5-month transition job where I delivered for FedEx, and yeah, woo, especially this time of year, that job is just crazy as we like ordering things. We like buying things. We like buying things online, and we don't like going out to the stores as much as we did before. And so we like them delivered to our doorstep. And I got to be a part of that process. And what I wore each day were these gray Brooks shoes. And every morning I put these on my feet and tied them up tight and just prayed for God's strength and endurance. Every day. I went back and checked my fit meter, and that month of December, I did over 500,000 steps, and like every day that I, you know, didn't work every day, but 6 out of 7, and was between 22 to 25,000 steps. And so I'm not that young as I look. And so my body hurt. My kids could attest that Dad came home and got frozen bags of corn on his knees every time. But that's where, you know, I'm so appreciative and thankful for that time and for that journey. And just the grace to put on shoes each day and take those steps. And one of the best stories I had during that time, because one, everyone loves getting a package. I hardly ever met someone delivering something, except if it was broken or something, but that they love getting boxes and or to receive a gift, right? They ordered something and waiting for it. One time in that month of December, and you're trying to fly through all the packages, between 400 and 500 packages a day on that truck. And occasionally you missed a box and trying to sort through and find out where it was on the truck, and you get to your house, you can't find it. So couldn't find it. You delivered the next day, which I'm sure you're like, oh, that's what happens. It's you. But I tried to go back and still, when my truck was empty, then you find the box or package and you go and deliver it at the end of the day. So it was one of these days in December, and I had to make the decision because I have a choice. Each day, many of us, we have thousands of choices to make. So I made this choice. All right, my job right now is to deliver this. And this, someone's waiting on it. Someone's needing it. And so my feet, my body was hurting, but I'm still going to go deliver this. I pull up to this house. As I pull up to the house, I see in the front yard those letter signs, you know, bop, 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 bop. And it said, happy birthday, and some little girl's name. And this was towards the evening, and it was just getting dusk out. And I stop the truck, and you probably know the sounds of the truck and the door opening. And I get the package, and I walk out. And then their front door flies open. Mom and Dad come running out, along with, like, this group of little girls running out, because the birthday party was happening right then and there, and I had the birthday gift. And so walking up and giving this gift, I'm like, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for delivering this. And we all love giving a gift as well. There's something joy inside if we can provide and give a gift and bring a smile to someone else's face. This morning, as we look at Luke 2, we're going to talk about how the greatest gift of all comes into the world, Jesus Christ. And then we're going to zoom in on the shepherds. And the shepherds had a role with their feet and what they did and how they got to go and share the good news of Jesus with those that they came in contact with. Okay? So here we are, Luke 2, and we'll jump in. Verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But an angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, A great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. There are many pieces of this passage that are rich and we could dive into and dissect and be blessed by and hold on to. There's a lot of goodness and richness here. But what I want to do is just focus in and zoom in on the shepherds. Let's zoom in on these folks, these shepherds. The first piece that's striking, verse 8, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. The shepherds, and if you follow along in the sermon notes or on the app, or you jot down on a piece of paper, or you just want to follow along, the first thing is that we see that they're living and doing their everyday normal life. They are just in the midst of being shepherds. They're taking care of the sheep. They're taking care of the flock. It's under their care, and they're doing what they do. You're a shepherd. You're out. You're taking care of the flocks at night. They're in the fields. Everyday normal life. And it's at that moment that heaven breaks in. The angels fill the sky with the most amazing message of Jesus, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, has come into the world. You know, shepherds, the role of a shepherd isn't that glorifying in the first century culture. And I think it's just amazing that God decides to go and use the shepherds as the messenger. That they're the first to know. They're the first to have that breaking story. They're the first to post it on X. Then, B, the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. Terror. Fear. Throughout the scriptures, when God comes near, when heaven breaks in, pretty much the first response is fear or terror, being startled, because that's not normal. That's not the everyday. And so they are terrified. We can think of earlier in Luke's gospel in chapter 1 when Zechariah is in the temple and the angel appears. He's like, oh, he's fearful. He's afraid. At the end of Luke, Jesus just kind of pop, here I am. He's is resurrected. And then the disciples are startled in fear. And think of Isaiah when he has his vision in the temple, or Gideon with the angel there in Judges. Anytime we usually see an angel or God showing up, there's fear. And I think what happens is because when the glory of the holiness of God shows up, it really reveals who we are. Right? And we realize that we're not that way. We aren't all that. And we feel the full weight of God's glory and realize, I'm just not holy. I have done wrong. I am not perfect. And so there's just a response of fear and trembling. We watched, I stepped into the room like for 5 minutes as the Heisman Trophy winner last night was giving his acceptance award speech. And one of the things that he said was kind of caught my ear. He was just talking about, it's not until now that I realize I am him. I was like, no, you're not. God is, but we're not. And when heaven breaks in, the glory of God shows up, we realize that's not who we are. And so we respond in fear and trembling and trepidation. But then God does his thing. See, God's peace is then extended to them. The angel says, do not be afraid, because I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. God doesn't want them, God doesn't want us to be living in fear. Do not fear. Peace be upon you. Go in peace. These common responses by an angel, by Jesus. When they have an interaction and a person is afraid or fearful. When Jesus does a miracle, he says, go in peace. When he shows up to the disciples, he says, peace be with you. The angels to the shepherds here, here's peace. Don't be afraid. He is the Prince of Peace. And that's why he came into the world. And what we've been talking about these past several weeks was 2 weeks ago, that this peace we need because we are not. Earlier this week, I got out a Jenga game. You guys know what Jenga is? Jenga. It's a stack of small little wooden tiles, and you take out one from the middle or from the bottom, and you keep adding it to the top, and it keeps growing and growing. And the higher it gets, the more precarious it gets. I kind of think that most of us in our lives and in our world, our lives are like a stack of Jenga blocks. And we keep trying to add more and more and more, and it's tilting and tipping over. And we're just trying to do our best to hold it all together. And this is when the relationship that we have with Jesus, and when we receive the peace of Christ, we realize, yeah, I can't hold it together. But God can. And then last week, talking about the peace that we can have in relationships. The peace that can be extended to each other. And this is the peace that Jesus gives. So the shepherds, they're terrified. The message, don't fear, there's peace on earth. And with this news, what happens next? What's their response? Because we always have an opportunity for a response. They do two things. First, the shepherds respond with urgency. The shepherds respond with urgency. Verse 15, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Verse 16 says, so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. The shepherds hurried. They made haste with urgency, and they ran. The Hebrew word for mahar, which means to hurry, to go with urgency. And every time that it's used, it has the idea of urgent. It is an urgent matter. In the first century in Jesus' day, for a person to run was basically like undignified. It was a shameful act. And only in the instances or cases of that dealt with life and death would it be urgent enough to make a run for it. I heard of a rabbi that said, well, when do you run? Well, tell me a scorpion's about to sting my child, then I'll run. It matters on life and death. We can think of some of these other stories where we find mahar, to run, to hurry, to hasten. And this is what it holds, this meaning. First you have from Genesis 33, Jacob and Esau. Jacob and Esau don't have the best relationship. Jacob stole the birthright from Esau. Esau wanted to kill Jacob. And then years pass. Jacob is then fleeing Laban, another family member. And And then he's going back towards Esau, and he's terrified. And he sees Esau approaching him from the distance, and so he gets down on his knees, and he's like bowing down seven times. And we read that Esau, mahar, he hurried, he ran to Jacob. He embraces him, kisses him, and then they weep together. That is worth that reconciliation, is that mahar, that hurrying, that urgency to do that. Another time in the parable, the prodigal son, the younger son goes off to a distant land. Finally, when he is returning and when he is coming back, the father who sees him at a great distance, then mahar, he hastens, he hurries, he runs to go and embrace his son. So this is the sense of what the shepherds are doing. Something is so vital of life and death that they need to hurry. They need to run to go find out. They went with urgency. And once they did, they saw that everything that they had been told was true. And their response was then to share. This is so amazing. This news is so incredible. We have to share this news. Maybe made popular by the Christmas song, Go Tell It on the Mountains, that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds are not content in holding this good news to themselves. But they go and they tell everybody. Who knows what was happening with their flocks at that time? Sheep everywhere. It didn't matter. They needed to go tell. The Messiah had come. They couldn't keep it inside. And then finally, letter E, shepherds returned to normal life, glorifying and praising God because the Prince of Peace had come. I can only imagine the shepherds continue to share about that night whenever they had the opportunity. You know when you got a good story and you want to share it? And the person keeps sharing that same story over and over. Here's Phil, the shepherd, and he's just like, guys, I got this story to tell you. I'm like, oh, we've heard this before, Phil. And then there's other person like Shepherd Larry. Larry's like, I don't have that story. I wasn't there. But Phil the shepherd does, and he keeps telling. And when they go back, they praise God, glorifying God, because their hearts, their lives had been changed. Their hearts had been softened into worship of the Lord. It was just so great to sing just like 15 minutes together earlier about the goodness and the grace of God. Because the peace of Christ changes us and changes our lives, and we can respond by glorifying and praising God. So if we zoom in, we zoomed in on the shepherds, and we can zoom back out. And what's the motivating factor here? If we zoom out onto how he starts Luke chapter 2, it was with a larger picture contextually of the Roman Empire, where the Hebrews had lived. On the far right, and where the green section ends, that's Jerusalem. Bethlehem would have been just south of that, by 5 or 6 miles, south and east. All the green is the Roman Empire. This is where Caesar Augustus ruled and reigned. 45 million people out of the city of Rome, of about 1 million people. And Caesar ruled them all, and he commanded them all, and he said, I want to count them. And so you get counted. And you move, and when Caesar says you jump, you jump. This was the cultural environment that they were in. They were under a Roman rule, a Roman oppression. And they had these prophetic words and that we've been talking about the past couple weeks from Isaiah or Micah or other places in Scripture, that there will be a Messiah. A Messiah is coming. And lo and behold, he arrives. So that's why it was a big deal. That is why they wanted to tell everyone. That is why they hurried. That's why it mattered so much to them to have the peace. What about us? If we zoom out even a little further, there's a map of the world. We somewhere are there. Some 2,000 years later, still we're talking and worshiping and praising Jesus, our Messiah. What does this mean for us in our world 2,000 years later? As a response was required of the shepherds, I think a response is required for us. First, our normal everyday lives are impacted by these truths. Our normal everyday lives are impacted by these truths. How often do we really reflect on this truth? That because of the birth and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that our lives are and can be completely different. In the puzzle pieces of life, in the chaos of life, when we have reason to panic and fear, we don't have to because of the peace of Christ. Knowing who Jesus was and is and will forever be, when we're trying to hold together all the pieces, the Jenga pieces of our lives, we have this biblical understanding and biblical framework where Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble. But I give you my peace. I am with you. And so it shouldn't come as a surprise when we have hard things happen in life and trials and frustrations. Well, because Jesus talks about it. He knows about it. He says, my peace I'm going to leave with you. And it impacts our daily life. Every day we walk different because of Jesus. And letter B, we get to choose how we will respond. We get to choose how we will respond. So it's probably about 25 years after Jesus' resurrection when Paul writes a letter called, we call it as Romans, to the church there that's in Rome. So let's imagine that. There's an empire of 45 million people that's ruling over everything that you know of. And in the span of 25 years, the church, made up of shepherds and others, shares the good news about the peace of Christ, that it's growing so much and being shared so much, and people are praising God so much that over in the capital of Rome, of this whole empire, there is now a church. In just the span of 25 years. And Paul has a letter of encouragement to them, a letter of teaching and instruction to them about sharing the message of peace, about sharing the message of salvation. So Romans 10, I'll read 12 through 16. So Paul writes to them and he says, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If today you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, call upon him. If you do not have peace in your life, call upon the Lord. Verse 14, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? And as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Yeah, it was beautiful for me and my feet, gray feet, tired feet, to go and bring a package to a birthday girl. How much more valuable is bringing the peace of God for eternity to somebody? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. We each have a choice. You can accept the good news and then out into the highways and byways of life. But not all will accept it. Paul here is actually quoting from Isaiah. Isaiah 52, verse 7. Which says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. Who proclaim peace. Who proclaim good tidings. Who bring good tidings. Who proclaim salvation. Who say to Zion, your God reigns. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good tidings. News. So, why shoes? Why feet? You probably didn't come here this morning expecting that you'd talk about shoes and feet. Throughout the Bible, following faithfully with God is often referred to following a path, following a road, following a way, following a walk. A walk, path, and way are used to describe the life of a disciple following after Jesus. And so you'd follow after Jesus, and you'd really, the idea is just to walk right behind, in step with Jesus. The first Christians in Acts were called followers of the way. Way before Mandalorian. And Jesus invites us to follow in that way. And so we think about, how do you follow in that way with beautiful feet? How can my feet follow after God? Paul in Ephesians 6, he talks about wearing a full armor of God. So every day we get up and we go someplace. And we are encouraged to put on the armor that God has for us. And there's something unique about the feet. If you can follow where this is probably going, what do you think the feet are for? I'll put it up here. Verse 15. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, the good news of peace, the good news of Jesus, the good news of the Prince of Peace. We are to have our feet ready. Why? Because how beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news, who proclaim peace, who proclaim good tidings, who proclaim salvation. And every day, we get to lace them up or slide them on or whatever you need. Are your feet ready? And if they're not, what needs to happen for you to be ready? Because we are all invited to be peace bringers to the world. Letter D, as we walk with Jesus, we constantly come into relationship with those who do not know the peace of Christ. Every day, we come in contact with people that do not know the peace of Christ. Each and every day, we get to be peace bringers. Got another FedEx picture to show you. So every one of those days, for those 5 months, I drove down to the facility down on Buck Road, and before getting out of the car, you know, say a prayer that God would somehow use me there in the lives of those people, and had the shoes, make sure they were nice and tight. And then it was about 1,000 steps to go from my car through the security into the facility, through the terminal to finally get to my truck. And here's some part of the team that I was a part of. And I really saw this as an opportunity to share, to love, and to communicate the good news of Jesus Christ with those that I work with, because their Jenga blocks were all, you know, shaken. Just as mine are. Jesus doesn't mean things are perfect. But each and every day, I entrusted my feet to the Lord and my shoes, and I prayed that they would be beautiful to God. Because each day we get an opportunity to be a peace bringer. You do. You get to be a peace bringer to your family, to your school, to your coworkers, to your club members, to wherever else you go throughout the day. You can be a peace bringer. So I have a few reflection questions for us to just consider this morning. When you walk into a room, what message are you eager to share? We think about the urgency of the shepherds. Do you have that urgency of the gospel, the peace of Christ, as something that you want to share with others? Where does that land on your conversation pieces? What's first in your mind and first in your heart? A second one. What are your feet known for? And I put feet in quotes. And hopefully you know we're not just talking about feet. It's how we live. The walk is all that we have, all that we are. Just the illustration is you use your feet, and the Bible puts it in ways that we have them and we use them. At work, at home, neighborhood, what are your feet known for? Another way of saying, what's your character like? Who is someone that you can share the peace of Christ with this Christmas? Who can you bring peace to? And then finally, what is the next step you can take in sharing the missing peace with someone? You can pray. Ask the Lord for some wisdom, some insight. How can I share this peace of Christ with this person that I'm seeking to have beautiful feet to? What I'd like to invite us to do for the next, 2 minutes is we are all here in community together this morning. And each Sunday, we always end the service, and we have folks up here. You can come up, and they will pray for you, which they'll do again today. And please take advantage of people praying for you. But right now, I would like you to turn to the person to your right or to your left. If you're kind of by yourself, yeah, scooch and find somebody else. If you don't know their name, ask what their name is. Tell them your name. And then give them a blessing. Bless their feet. I know that sounds really weird or really odd, but you can say, Jesus, may you bless so-and-so's feet this morning, that as they go this week, that their feet would be beautiful, that their feet would be carrying your message and proclaiming peace and salvation and good tidings to wherever they go. So take a minute, turn to your neighbor, bless their beautiful feet. Thank you. Lord God, we are so grateful. So grateful and thankful for this gift that we are reminded of on Christmas, of Emmanuel, you coming to be with us. Thank you for not leaving us alone. Thank you for giving us hope. Thank you for giving us purpose. Thank you for giving us your grace and mercy and salvation. And God, we pray that as we leave this place, God, that this would be a church body, a church family, that we'd be leaving this place recognizing our call to have beautiful feet in this world. May you empower us and equip us to do so by your grace. Amen.
Get ready to do this last song here. This is going to be a new song. It's going to be a new song. But I want you to think about what we talked about today and the peace that we have in Jesus Christ and how important that is for us to go share that peace with the lost and broken world around us. Amen? Amen. I know it takes a little bit to get into this song, but you'll recognize it once we get to the bridge for sure. But I really want you to focus on the words and focus on the peace that God brings into your hearts and how important that is that we bring it to those around us. Amen.
Jesus, from the cradle in the dirt.
have some people with beautiful feet up here that would love to pray with you and for you and give you a blessing. So once we're done here, come on up, receive some prayer from them. And as you go out this week, may you go with your feet fitted with the gospel of peace, being peace bringers into the world that desperately needs it, through the love of the Father, through the grace of the Son, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Go in His peace. Amen. Have a great week.